City, Arlington.
Newsmakers talk to Jason Miller on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Rafael Boris is the DHS Undersecretary for Management.
For the first time, we have oversight over major acquisitions. So if you look at the major acquisitions that were problematic in DHS's history, we know many of them, SBI Net and others. The most important thing I would say today is whether it was ACE or SBI Net, none of these management controls were in place at the time.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
What will happen to your agency's 2012 budget? Follow all of the twists and turns of the budget process at federalnewsradio.com, search term budget.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have a doubleheader. We've got a govy and a techie, or some kind of a combination like that. Today in the studio, we have Kim Taylor. She's the Director of Web Services at the USDA FSIS. And we have Kevin Paschuk, who's the Vice President of Public Sector for Right Now Technologies. Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good morning.
I like to have this little balance here, kind of like a little dance where two different people have two different opinions, but they work together to accomplish the goal. And I think most of my listeners know that the goal in the federal government now is to save money, serve citizens. And by the way, can you do it today? Can you do it quickly? And we've had a lot of success with a little web app there called Ask Karen. It's a USDA web app. And these two got together and worked in conjunction and produced it. And I thought it'd be a good story to tell if you are sitting in an agency and scratching your head going, wow, geez, now I got to come up with some kind of an app. And how do I, maybe it's something to do with maps at the Bureau of Land Management. Maybe it's got something to do with weather. Maybe it's EPA. I mean, everyone's thinking about these apps and what's the best practice. What are some of the mistakes maybe that Kim made? What'd she do differently? And then maybe we can find out where the future of this whole technology is heading with Kevin and some technical challenges. But first, we always want to start off with our listeners' background. Kim, why don't you tell us how you wound up at USDA, please? Just a real quick background.
Well, actually, I did previously work at USDA from 2003 to 2009. And then I took a short break and did some consulting and various things in the private industry and rejoined USDA at the Food Safety and Inspection Service last October.
That's good to know. And Kevin, what's your background, please?
Yeah, John. So I've been working with the federal government for over 16 years, specifically in the software arena. Most recently, when I say most recently, in the last 5 years, I've moved over to Right Now Technologies, which is a cloud-based solutions company. And I saw cloud as the future for government and for America.
Great. There's a book out about 15, 20 years ago by a sales coach. And the title of the book is The Customer Signs Your Paycheck. I guess if we'd apply it to the federal government, you can say, well, you know, Kim, the citizen signs your paycheck, and you were tasked with providing information to citizens on food safety. So just give me, did you run out of the room when they told you that, or what was the thought process when they challenged you with that?
No, actually, I've always said that our users, as we say in web lingo, people who come to websites, they're customers, right? And it's not about us on the other side. It's about the customer. So I've always felt that way. So when the executive order came out, you know, I think that, you know, FSIS, we're a little ahead of the curve, and there's much more we can do to improve customer service. But I think we have a really great start.
And from a consumer's perspective, because I'm a consumer of food, I'm pretty obviously consume too much of it maybe. If I hear if there's a scare with blueberries or something, I can go to the site, ask Karen and find, hey, what's going on? Should I buy the blueberries on the way home to make the pie or something? Is that right?
Well, we do recalls. And I guess to make it more simple for you to find that information, I would recommend recalls.gov.
Okay.
That's an app that specifically has recall feeds because FDA also does recalls. So we still have a little variation in what agency is responsible for what item, if you will. So that would be a better way to find those recalls. But absolutely, we do have that information that is put into Ask Karen. So if somebody heard about a recent recall, they could go to Ask Karen and ask about recalls, and they would get the answer from the knowledge base.
Well, Kevin, we just heard of two apps in the federal government. Sounds like the big boat's changing here. Real popular, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I sit here in front of you, you know, I've got my iPad, I've got my iPhone, and you know, everything I do from a technology perspective, from an information perspective, is usually on my iPad. And you know, we just did a little bit of research prior to coming here, and the Census Bureau specifically, you know, they just published a report that says, within the next year, more interactions will occur via a mobile device than via a laptop or a desktop. And this is a trend that's really increasing. And you know, they're also estimating that, you know, within the next year, 25 million tablets will be sold and 95 million smartphones. And so this is a huge increase from last year.
They talk about 50 million iPads between now and the end of the year.
Absolutely.
4 months, bang. It's just incredible.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look at the Pew statistics, 1/3 of Americans own a smartphone. I mean, we're not, you know, not going away. So someone like Kim has to realize that. She has to say, okay, you know, you go to the Giant on the way home from work and you see people with smartphones. How can your agency be of service to them? So a committee, I imagine someone at the organization decided, okay, we're going to put you in charge of this, Kim. So what was your thought process in trying to develop an app for this?
Well, actually, Ask Karen was launched back in 2004, 2005.
Not long ago, huh?
And full disclosure, we've been partners with Right Now Technologies since then, because that's where her knowledge base, we call her, is housed. And so when I came on board, there's a lot of discussion in October about what can we do, cell phones, you know, text and all those sorts of things that other government agencies are looking into to try to get information out to consumers. So I said, well, what about Ask Karen? Why don't we take her mobile? And as it turns out, that is something that is offered within our contract, and that's something that Right Now does offer in the cloud as well, because it's all in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like a perfect extension of Ask Karen, and that was the next step, was to make her mobile. Because I, as it's been said, understand that people aren't sitting at home, you know, behind their computer or Mac or whatever they're using, going, well, let me look this up and see if it's going to give me the information I want. They want the information when they want it, and they should be able to get it wherever they are, on whatever device they're on.
So if you go to rightnow.com, Kevin, your website, it's a pretty nice-looking website, by the way, kind of a shocking image in the front, a focal point's what they call it, and interesting use of lettering. You talk about being a customer relationship management company, a CRM, and I guess that your customers could be citizens as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We serve, as a matter of fact, over 200 different federal organizations today, and it's a pretty important part of our business. And it's more than CRM. You know, traditional CRM was more business to business.
I think of Salesforce.com when I think of CRM, you know.
Right. We're completely different in the regards that we focus on the customer experience. So it's really about establishing a knowledge foundation and delivering the tools via the cloud to our customers, in this case, the government, to be able to serve the citizens better on any medium. So it could be, you know, contact center, it could be the mobile device, it could be a website, it could be Facebook.
1,000 people in your company.
1,000 people, correct.
Wow, that's a big secret not many people know about Right Now Technologies. Maybe they'll know after this interview, though, huh? So I have to ask a question, Kim. And so you were sitting there looking out the window and you read the press release from Vivek. He said, go to cloud first, and then you jumped into the cloud. Or you looked at the technology and said, well, this is nothing new with Vivek. This is the right hand in glove. It's the shoe fits. What was the logic?
We were already in the cloud.
Yeah, I mean, you beat him to the punch, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but we were at least we're in sync. How's
he doesn't
that?
Work here anymore, so we can say that.
We were in sync, let's put it that way. Yeah, I mean, it made perfect sense. And that's the beauty of all the cloud talk, if you will. And that is, we don't have to maintain servers, right? We don't have to keep adding to servers and security issues and patches and software, hardware, and personnel, and all that goes into maintaining a server that we might need to run Ask Karen. You know, we are able to use that as it is in the cloud, and we don't have to worry about all the back-end things that can give people headaches. But the cloud works. In this case, there are other benefits to the return on investment, and that is we also don't have to hire additional people within our call centers to help people find answers to their questions. So we do have a very good return on investment.
So, Kevin, in the commercial world, there is a very specific cost to how much it costs to have a human being answer a telephone call and provide information. And if that can be done in an automated fashion, the government saves money.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, all the big research firms, Gartner, Forrester, et cetera, they've done studies on, you know, the cost to interact with citizens or customers if you're commercial. And by far and beyond, the contact center, the phone call is the most expensive channel. So when you could deploy an application and give self-service, you know, it's not only a better experience because it's 7 days a week, right? 365 days a year, anytime.
Under 30 years old, they prefer it. That's
yes.
The amazing part. And they prefer, and it's cheaper, so why not go with it? We're going to take a quick break. We come back, talk a little more about Ask Karen and maybe the whole process behind altering it and improving it and the release, and then maybe switch to topics like the cloud and security and how your agency can take advantage of serving citizens better. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kim Taylor, who's the Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom. Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman. Security.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future. If you're in federal IT, you want to hear more about storage efficiency, especially when storage is eating up your IT budget. But what is storage efficiency? NetApp makes it simple. It's storage that's flexible, that's easier to manage, that requires far less hardware, often only half as much. And half as much means half the cost. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency, built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like CDWG. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Are you ready to explore how consolidation, cloud computing, and mobility are driving change in government? Plan now to attend GuideTech and Affirm September 15th symposium to learn how 15 agencies are reforming the way they do business. Together, they'll discuss how OMB's 25-point plan is being implemented with leaders at GAO, Veterans Affairs, the Army, DHS, the FBI, and Commerce, among others, as they deliver citizen services across a variety of devices seamlessly. Register today for this half-day symposium at affirm.org.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're speaking with Kim Taylor, Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies. If you're scratching your head and thinking about maybe developing an app for your agency or wondering what the best practices are or maybe wondering some of the headaches that Kim had in working with this, this would be a good interview for you to listen to. If you want to take a look at the app, you can go to M, Ask Karen, that's two Ks, M as in Mary, dot askkaren.gov, and take a look and just see what it's all about. So I got to toss to you here, Kim. What were the frustrations in this whole project? Everything smooth, no problems?
I can't say that this was a bad experience internally. Everybody was on board. I'm very fortunate to work with people who get it and want to move forward and think bigger and do better things. So I'm one of the lucky ones. I have support. Internally, explaining to folks, well, this is mobile. No, it's not a native app. It's a web-based app. And explaining the difference. And it's a hosted service. It's just an extension of what we have with Ask Karen. And there is no security risk to our network. And those sorts of things you have to answer. But internally, I had great support. And I'm very happy about that.
Kevin, the NFL is playing here, and in the sports talk stations, they talk about what makes for a good quarterback, you know? What makes for a good receiver? Well, what makes for a good government app? Give us two or three points that you think might our listeners might want to walk away with here.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, one, I think usability is key. I mean, if you think about in our daily lives, you know, when I go to Starbucks, I no longer pay with my credit card, and I no longer even pay with the Starbucks card. I pull out the Starbucks app. It's very usable, quick, easy to do. So if the app's usable, I think that will help drive adoption. Secondly, I think it's got to be fast, right? You know, instant. People want things immediately, and so it can't take time to load. And then three, in the government specifically, you know, I think it needs to sit behind a secure infrastructure that aligns with the government FISMA regulations.
Kim, from your perspective. I guess you had a relaunch in July of this year?
Well, we launched Ask Karen, the mobile version, in May.
In May, yeah. Okay. And, well, tell me what you – did you get letters? Did you get calls? I mean, people protesting on front
no,
of the building?
Well, no, none of that, no. We actually – I mean, we got some good feedback. Some people were kind of like, oh, this is it. Others were like, hey, this is great, you know. What we saw when we launched the mobile version of Ask Karen, which, by the way, is optimized for – iOS or Android, iPhone, iPad, Android phones, was that we started to see usage increase. And we felt pretty good usage by our customers before the mobile app. But what we started to see was this this increase of people using Ask Karen, mobile and otherwise. And so, you know, we were very happy about that. And that's what tells the story. And not always it's about numbers and usage, but we can tell, you know, still by the self-serve rate. That's one of the great ways to measure that, you know, people are using it and obviously liking it because they're getting answers.
And that's the challenge. Over at vaccines.gov, they're sitting on this ton of information, and their challenge was release this information to the citizens so they can learn from it. And you're the same, and I'm sure every agency has that type of a challenge, is we are sitting on these stacks and stacks of information that can help people. We might as well take and release it to them. So, Kevin, successful app. We know it should be easy to use, fast, and behind some kind of security. But what kind of security guidelines do you normally give when people think about developing apps?
Yeah, absolutely, John. So first and foremost, it's got to follow the FSMA guidelines, right? There's the low, moderate, and high. And I would beg to say that if it's a high-level security need, you probably don't want to have an app for it. But things like what we're doing here with Ask Karen, very applicable, right? There's not PII data, so it's a low secure app. But I also would argue that with the right infrastructure, with the right cloud computing environment, you could deliver a moderate level app with PII data. So, for example, you know, in time of need, you know, we just had a hurricane and an earthquake. And ironically enough, you know, the only thing that was working during the earthquake, I was at the Treasury downtown, was Twitter, and I couldn't access anything else. But if I had an app that was, you know, had my information that was easy accessible, you know, I would have been trying to do that as well to get to my family and get other information needed. So, you know, I think that when you look at security, you just got to follow the FSMA guidelines, and it's already done there for you.
I was in the studio here during that earthquake, and that was going on here. There were three or four people with different Twitter monitoring tools that were keeping up with things, and it was really kind of a case in point of social media having some kind of practical value because people were checking in. I'm sure there were a lot of gallons of gasoline were saved by people saying, just don't get stuck in that traffic. Why Android?
So funny you bring this up. So every year we commission a customer experience study in the government. And last year, one of the most sought out channels was email and web. This year, both the iPhone and the Android app replaced the email as the number one trend for citizens wanting to engage with the government. And so, you know, they're the two popular platforms today, and I think you need to build for both Android and the iPhone. I think Ask Karen is just Droid.
Oh, she's iPhone,
she's
iPad
iPhone as well.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said Android. I wrote down Android.
Android and iOS and iPad.
Mm-hmm. But it's optimized for Android.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I read these silly studies all the time. Nielsen did a study, and the people who use social media a lot, they also email a lot, so you can't say email is just for grandpas anymore because it's both are being used. There's real specific targeted applications for both. I'll pose this question to you, Kevin. If someone is listening and thinking about an app for distributing information, what kind of requirements or guidelines would they put together for a proposal? How much time should they worry about security? What about usability testing? If here it is, you know, let's say September 1st, what's the time frame? I want to come up with Ask Kim. I want to ask Kim, can I do it by Christmas? Can I do it by, what's the time frame here?
Yeah, and there's a lot of factors, and it's pretty much a loaded question. It just really depends on the requirement itself. If it's something simple that you already have infrastructure built and it's a matter of just popping an app on top of it, it could be a matter of 2 weeks. If it's something where you've got to build the infrastructure, the knowledge, the database, and then build the application on top of it, it could take longer. So I don't know that there's a real hard, firm answer to your question, John. I think it really comes down to the requirements.
So what about the metrics? Do you want to reveal the number of users, the increase since the relaunch? Can you just say trends or what's happened since July?
Well, I guess I would look at it this way, and this is something that we discuss in the larger mobile community that's headed up by Gwen Costin at GSA, and that is numbers don't always, if you go by users or downloads, don't always tell the story. With Ask Karen, though, we can say, well, look at our self-serve numbers, and we know that again, we can measure success that way and that we're hitting the right spots with our customers. But I can say since May, we've seen our actual use increase. And with the launch of the Check Your Steps campaign with the Ad Council, Ask Karen's growth has increased by 619%.
Ooh, good number. Got to take a break here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kim Taylor, Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
If your agency's communications network was tailored to your needs, what would it look like? Would your small and medium-sized field offices connect to the cloud and run applications with optimal bandwidth efficiency? Would your ideal network be cost-effective and able to leverage the benefits of GSA programs? Would it provide path-diverse communications that support COOP for the same price as your primary network service? And with your network, would you have confidence in secure connectivity, especially for teleworkers? Say yes to all these questions and meet the Government Field Office of the Future today from Hughes. With decades of experience and a comprehensive suite of solutions and partners, Hughes is able to deliver agencies a powerful national managed broadband service, providing voice, video, and data where, when, and how you need it.
To learn more, visit government.hughes.com/WFED.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Shock, denial, guilt. Emotions that Mayo Clinic Dr. Edward Cragen says are typical with a diagnosis of malignant melanoma. So is the patient profile.
Typically an individual in their 40s or 50s. Typically an individual who did not know that a suntan is lethal.
What makes melanoma so dangerous compared to other skin cancers is its aggressive nature spreading around the body.
In effect, a freckle, a mole, becomes malignant. The cells become disordered. They burrow under the skin. They seed into lymph vessels and then into organs.
Caught early enough, malignant melanoma can be cured, but it can also be prevented. How? Limit your sun exposure. Wear a hat and other sun protective clothing, and use sunscreen, not just at the beach or on the golf course, but every day, rain or shine. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Facing harsh budget realities, some agencies are already offering buyouts and early retirements. Some that have started the process include agriculture, the Air Force, education, FTC, GAO, the Government Printing Office, Housing and Urban Development, the Postal Service, Justice, the Library of Congress, and the Smithsonian. And more are likely to come. I'm Amy Morris.
Will you be receiving a 25% life insurance premium refund check from your insurance company? Federal employees with WEPA Life Insurance will be receiving over $6 million in premium refunds this fall. Since 1996, WEPA has refunded over $58 million in premiums. In comparison, Fegley has never issued a premium refund. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Made in America. Those words mean a lot. From uniforms to help desk support to office supplies, Ability One employees deliver quality, American-made solutions to our federal government. Ability One creates jobs for people who are blind or have other significant disabilities without relying on taxpayer subsidies. For quality products and services right here at home, contact AbilityOne.org. Because Made in America is more than a label. It's a promise kept to more than 47,000 Americans who are willing and able to work.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Wisp Resort up in Western Maryland is a great place. So you can kind of combine a mountain escape at Wisp, where they've got a lot to do, and golf, because they have two courses on the same mountain. The getaway that they're offering right now offers room, breakfast, and golf, and it all starts at just $133.
A lot of people I know love Williamsburg. What's going on there?
This is the big time for the arts in Williamsburg, and they even have a website dedicated just to the events and travel packages that are associated with a lot of the arts events down there this time of year. The Williamsburg, Yorktown, and Jamestown area is called the Historic Triangle, and September 17th is a big new event called Court Days in Yorktown and at the Yorktown Victory Center. So if you haven't been over to Yorktown lately, it's well worth the trip. Check it all out on page 43 of September's Recreation News.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Kim Taylor. She's the director of web services at USDA-FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies. Kind of an interesting tandem. They work together, both organizations, to come up with a successful app called Ask Karen. You can go online and find out more about Ask Kevin. Gives you all kinds of information about food. I have to. Is it a seasonal thing? I mean, do people go to picnics and go, I wonder if this potato salad's worth eating? Is it? And then in Christmas, like, I wonder if this, you know, turkey. I mean, is it seasonal? The request, can you graph it?
Some of them are. Yes. Ironically, near St. Patrick's Day, you see a lot of requests for items about corned beef.
Oh, what an interesting
coincidence.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So, and around Thanksgiving, obviously, there's a lot of discussion and questions about turkey and stuffing, and so.
And leftovers only if you do not have a male teenager in the house. There's never questions about leftovers, but if you have a bunch of girls in the house, you're going to get silly questions about how long does the dressing last. So it's a successful website, successful app. It's working. Now we got to get some technical questions, Kevin. I mean, why did it succeed? Was it just designed well? Was it good testing? I mean, why was it a success?
Yeah, I think there was a legitimate need for the citizens to get information. And this was an easy way that citizens today are used to using technology. And so, Ask Karen was one of the first government apps out there. So it was a thought leader. And I think it just comes down to it's how people want to interact with the government, how people want to interact with anything in their daily lives.
There are program managers who are listening that want to ask some technical questions. I don't want to get too technical here, but how does the app reach back into the database and find out how long a turkey sandwich can last? I mean, how long does that work? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, sure. So, to your point, all the information sits and resides in a knowledge base. And so if you go to Ask Caring, the website, and you ask a question, you're going to get a certain set of answers. When you go back to the mobile app, per se, if you're in the grocery store and you want to know how long to cook the turkey, you're going to get that exact same information because it all resides in the cloud, in the knowledge base. And so it's really just over the secure internet, translating and interacting with the website or an email or mobile app in this case.
I read a book over the weekend by Brian Miller about website design, and it's called Above the Fold. And he has a chapter on designing for mobile applications. And there are very specific guidelines for mobile applications that you have to be aware of. Have you read books like this? Are there some general principles you wanted to apply here? Or how did you go about testing this app?
After it was live, I walked around with it on my phone for 3 months going, hey, look at this, play with this, right? Oh, you have an iPhone? Let me send you a link, right?
So, here comes Kim. I'm going the other way. I'm sick of this.
Well, probably that happened quite a bit. Oh, I can't stand to hear the mobile thing one more time, right? Considerations, obviously, you're talking about cell phones, mobile phones, however you want to look at it, 3G, 4G, whatever the connection is, Wi-Fi. So, I mean, you want to take those in consideration. And you want to think about simple design, right? You want it to be nice looking, but you want something simple. So, I mean, obviously an app with a lot of images that really aren't a benefit to what the person is trying to do isn't really going to help much. But
best,
I think there's
best practice right there. It's right. A little checklist you have. Right?
There's a lot of questions and discussion right now about what is a best practice for building a mobile app. And so that's something I think you'll see more of.
Yeah, John, if I could add, I think there's another aspect as well, and it's the branding of it. Just the ask, right? It's very kind of informative in nature. I mean, we have with Department of State, Ask the Secretary. It's kind of quite different from FAQs, which, I joke, I call FAQs the F word. But it's, FAQs are a static list of answers that maybe they don't even know what I'm asking. But just the term ask itself is very inviting.
There was a column in the Washington Post ran for 10 years called Ask the Computer Guy. Have you ever heard of that column?
I have not.
I wrote it. So I wonder where they got. And this station has asked the CIO, and I know where they got it. They got it from me. So I understand the theory behind simple, direct questions and
task-oriented
information. Yeah, that's what you want to do. Speaking of tasks, one task that Vivek Kundra gave everyone was you got to go to the cloud first. Well, you got to go to the cloud. Always look at the cloud first. There are some agencies out there that are looking that are saying, no, we want to go mobile first. If you look what's going on at the FCC. There's a person there named Haley Van Dyke, and she says, no, let's think mobile first. Or mobile on the cloud, cloud and the mobile gets kind of confusing. What we've seen is that Vivek Kundra's written some stuff from Boston, and he said that the reason the federal government hasn't gone to the cloud is because of the security issue. What do you think? Is that a valid criticism? Or?
Yeah, I think that, while it's somewhat valid, I think Vivek has overlooked all the successes in the government per se. I mean, we started out this interview and And I told you we had over 200 implementations. Well, they're all in the cloud in the federal government. And I sat on Vivek's Cloud Commission, and we had
You've been there, done that, 76 various
technology companies, and every one of them had at least one implementation in the cloud and in the government. And so I think there's a lot of success, and I think security is being used as an excuse for those that may not know. I would just challenge anyone looking to do a new project or to transform and modernize. If you look at CloudForce, ask the security questions and see what you find. And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised that not only right now technologies, but a lot of firms have really beefed up security in the cloud, and we're getting it right today.
Well, your company does a lot of commercial work. I mean, you've been into regular commercial enterprises where, guess what? You don't snap your finger and turn a dime. It doesn't happen there either. People have just as many concerns about that, and it just doesn't. I mean, if you look at the size and scope of some of these agencies here, they're huge companies in and of themselves. And believe me, human beings, huge companies, huge organizations, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so again, I think it's really about removing the myths and replacing them with the facts. And when it comes down to it, you know, our organization, you know, we build our cloud infrastructure on the NIST moderate 853 compliance level. We actually partnered with DoD, the only cloud company out there that actually runs in partnership in a DoD infrastructure. So you could access our cloud via the NIPRNet. And our infrastructure sits in a DISA deck. And so I think, you know, companies from a commercial standpoint need to perhaps bend and invest from their end as well to help meet these government needs. So I think it's a give and take.
Trying to jump around the security space, let's change gears and think like a hacker. There's a website out there called RateMyHack.com. So these hackers out there, they're doing it just to kind of prove their muscles to other hackers. And what may happen is what would prevent someone from coming up with not a rogue app, but a similar app like Ask Karen with a C in there or something. And then someone tries to go to Ask Karen, winds up with Ask C-A-R-E-N, and it's a malicious app. Is that part of the strategy behind security with apps?
Right. So, you know, as far as, you know, breaking the right now infrastructure, you know, we're doing security scans and all the, you know, the 180 page document of controls and requirements that we need to follow to make sure that doesn't happen or the best of our ability doesn't happen. But, you know, I think it's possible for someone to you know, stand up a duplicate app, not necessarily on the right now site, but just on their own infrastructure. Although, you know, I don't know that it's a likely target. I think
There's hundreds of other targets, but there are listeners out there who are involved in the security community, and I think they're wondering, and they may have seen activities like that taking place. Especially, you know, USDA doesn't have a target on them, but there are other agencies that may have targets on them. How's that for a discreet statement?
Sure.
They may or may not have just. Tell me more about testing. I'm kind of curious. I work for a small software company. The people who have to test are always the lowest on the totem pole. The new guy, the new girl's got to do the testing. They hate it. But from my perspective, there's a lot of things can be learned from testing, especially another set of eyes, another set of ears. What's perfectly logical to Kevin may be confusing to you. What's confusing to me is crystal clear to my wife. Mm-hmm. Did you reach out to different age groups, different ethnic backgrounds, different regions of the country, or what kind of testing did you do?
I reached out to anybody who had an iPhone or Android or iPad.
Test it all there.
Yeah. So, you know, Ask Karen, for the most part, if you AskKaren.gov, the website, it functions the same way on a phone. And so it's pretty intuitive. When you come in, you can ask a question, you can go by products, you can go by category, you can email, you can chat. So the same functions are there. It's just delivered to you on your mobile device. So, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of issues that we have with people saying, well, I don't know how this works. That wasn't the case at all.
That's what I like to hear. That's the right answer. That's great. We're going to take a break when we come back. Talk more about personal technology that our guests are using, and maybe look at the future of apps and the future of handheld technologies. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kim Taylor, Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector Right Now Technologies.
Remember when you tried doing something for the first time? You probably weren't very good at it.
On a scale of stinko to virtuoso, chances are you were right down there. But you kept at it, and soon you went from not so hot to halfway decent. Kaiser Permanente reminds you we all start out as beginners, stumbling over our feet, going right instead of left, swinging and missing. So whatever you're curious about, tennis or horseback riding, playing guitar or pole dancing, softball or soccer, forget about being perfect and focus on the fun. The rest will fall into place. So come on, stumblers, bumblers, listen up. It's okay to stink. Just start. Go to thrive.kp.org to find your thing. Kaiser Permanente. We want you and your interests to thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
What is the U.S. Department of Agriculture doing to transform rural America and enhance its prosperity? What is the USDA doing to cut costs and improve organizational performance? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Kathleen Merrigan, Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Somebody asked me the other day why I still listen to the radio. It's a good question. I could listen to my iPod or a canned smooth jazz station I get from my cable company. But you know something? I live in the real world and I want to stay connected. That's why I love radio, especially HD radio. It connects me to more local stations, more hometown personalities, more choices, more of everything I listen to the radio for.
Learn more at HDradio.com. HD Radio. More stations.
More value.
More of what you listen to radio for.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
The Cloud Computing Report is brought to you by Trusted Enterprise Cloud, an innovative cloud computing solution from Harris Corporation and VMware.
Cloud computing is changing the way IT managers operate within agencies. Mary Davey of the General Services Administration tells Federal News Radio she sees more agencies today moving to the cloud because they see the cost and efficiency benefits, not because they were mandated under the 25-point IT plan. And she says it's not just private cloud models being used. Depending on the type of data being stored, public and hybrid clouds are also gaining traction.
Are you looking to move software and applications to the cloud, but you're concerned about security and reliability? Then take a look at Trusted Enterprise Cloud, a world-class cloud computing system with patented trust technology built in. Go to harris.com/cloud and you can request a design review with a solutions architect. That's harris.com/cloud.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DoD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on two levels and in five halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kim Taylor, who's the Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies, talking about apps and federal agencies and scratching their head and thinking about doing an app and fixing to get ready and maybe sometime in the future. And what kind of problems did Kim have? And we talked about little problems and issues and concerns. If I'm listening to this interview at 2 o'clock in the morning while I'm doing email and I'm saying, well, oh, she has 50 people on her staff. Of course she can do that. I mean, tell me about the human beings involved in this.
First of all, we talk about the success of Ask Karen. And I personally believe that any success an app has, and especially if it's a knowledge base, it's based off the people who are the subject matter experts. And Ask Karen is successful because the people behind her are the subject matter experts, and, you know, garbage in, garbage out. On my team, I have a team of five, and I have one person along with myself who kind of works on the Right Now instances that we have and helps to troubleshoot. And then there are people on staff at FSES, which is our education shop, if you will, who answer the questions for Ask Karen.
So what you're saying is that you can do this with a smaller staff because Right Now Technologies allows you to leverage the information that you have with their technology. So rather than having to have a call center 24 hours a day, you can use the technology. And that's what the whole strength behind Right Now Technologies is getting more out of less.
Correct.
I went to your website this morning. You folks won an award from Gartner, one of those quadrant things. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. They have this magic quadrant where they rank the top companies in the world, and we were ranked higher than any other company in all three experiences collectively. So the web experience, the social experience, and the contact center experience, which kind of fits into the overall customer experience realm of what Right Now Technology does.
We have to say citizen experience on this station,
but I think it's citizen the same. Citizen or warfighter.
It's the same thing, though. It's making the people happy who want to get the information from you. What will make my listeners happy is this little silly survey I do where we find out what your tech background is. So I'm going to do a question for you, Kim, quickly, and then we're going to go to Kevin and see who the real card-carrying nerd is. You're your first computer, Kim.
It was a very expensive computer with a whole, like, 250 megs of RAM. It used Windows 95.
Ooh, that's a good one. First cell phone.
First cell phone I had in 1998, 99. It was probably the size of a small bus.
A Volkswagen size.
Yes.
And operating system on your machine at home?
Mac,
okay.
Tiger.
And home connection, anything fancy, just standard, any kind of a...
BIOS.
Okay.
Fiber optics. Gotta have it.
Type of portable phone, mobile phone you use?
I am using a Samsung, and the operating system is Android.
Android, okay. And how many apps do you have on your phone?
Oh, approximately 30.
30. That's a reasonable number. Tablet device, do you own any?
No.
Okay. Social networking sites you participate in?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+, even though it's beta, early adopter, sorry. And Flickr. I've been with Flickr since they were beta back in 2004.
And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic on my phone.
On your phone. Well, that's a new one. That gets points.
My Kindle app.
Ooh, that's points. Kevin, I know you have a tough one beating this one here. How about you? You're your first computer.
Yeah, so I grew up pretty poor, and I graduated college in 95, 96.
Yeah.
And I even going into college, I couldn't afford a computer, so it was my junior year. So about 98 was my first computer.
Wow. And you're your first cell phone.
I actually had a cell phone before the computer, so I
had
that in high school.
Whoa, there's a tease trending. Whoa. He's trending.
let's call that 91.
Yeah. And your operating system on your computer at home?
Oh, it's Mac.
Mac. Hmm. And the regular standard connection at home, nothing fancy, no T1 coming out?
No.
Okay. Type of portable phone?
iPhone. 4.
Okay. Number of
for the 5.
number of apps on that little guy?
Too many.
Too many.
100+. But keep in mind, my kids download too, and so they share the account. So.
And the social networking sites you participate in?
Primarily LinkedIn, Twitter, a little bit of Facebook, and like Kim, I do photography, and there's a new up-and-coming site, 500px.
Oh, yeah.
PX.
That one too.
Yeah, it's a pretty great site.
And last book you read, electronic or paper?
Electronic on the iPad.
I think this is really neck and neck. It's the nanometer is not moving either way. I think we have to go out in the hallway in here and have a little fist fight, and we'll find out who's talk about the Google algorithm for 2 hours and then see who wins on that. If you know what that is, then you're pretty good. Like to have a little lightness in the show, but we've got to get back to some seriousness here of my listeners and apps and the future of apps and should you do it yourself? Should you hire it out? Should it be in the cloud? What about security? So, Kevin, from your perspective, 4 or 5 years down the road, if you look 4 or 5 years past, there is no stinking iPhone. What about 4 or 5 years from now? Where do you see all this technology heading?
Yeah, I see the iPhone and the tablet probably merging. They're two separate devices now. I think that, in the future, like I'm carrying two and it's pretty painful. You know, I'd prefer just to carry one, but I need them both for the unique uses. And I primarily use my iPhone for a phone, unless I'm in an emergency. I'm not like Kim who can read a book on it. And so, I think in the future there's going to be, some merger of iPhone and iPad and other, competitive devices where perhaps it's a larger pad device. With some kind of small phone that kind of
Kim and I used to go to trade shows where they had a compact computer that the sales guy would stand on, and it was like a sewing machine you carry around. We were proud of that you'd have one that small, and you think that's too big. That's really amazing how the years change. So you think there's going to be a little fusion?
A little fusion for sure.
Wow, that's interesting. Kim, what does your crystal ball say about apps and smartphones and the future of this technology?
Oh, well, obviously it's something that's going to stay. This is a hard one to predict because this sort of technology, iPhone, iPad, Android, and everything else in between, it's changing daily. So it's very difficult to kind of look at the crystal ball and say, this is what's happening next. But I think, people need to keep mobile in mind and not so much build for mobile, but anytime they're going to serve content out on a website or whatever they're doing, they need to think of it in terms of devices. Can all the devices download this material, and is it readable, usable, and what can they do?
I was driving back from an appointment on 66, and I saw Raphael's Tacos, and he had a whole list of Twitter handles.
Okay? Right.
And so he'd pull up, and he'd let all his customers know he has tacos ready, and they come down to him. Now, that's important for mobile marketing, but my company, we work on large software projects. It's probably not a priority for me, and I think each agency that's listening may have a priority or not have a priority. The tough part is, what if things change? You should listen to this interview because you need it now, because in 2 or 3 years, you may have a boss that says, Kevin, we got to come up with an app for this. It's your job.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I will tell you, when you talk about the future, today there's cloud companies. 5 years from now, everybody will be a cloud company, and that term will be irrelevant.
It'll be, what's the internet? It's assumed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know about that. When it comes to your agency, you must have something in the pot cooking for the future. Are you going to tell us what's cooking? Or are you going to be tight-lipped here?
Well, I do have something I'm working on, and I'm very hesitant to just kind of throw it out there as I don't necessarily want to be on the hook, but let's just say if all things being equal and I have time to go and put my little programmer hat on, it would be ready before Thanksgiving.
Something could come out. So right. Keep an eye out for all kinds of new apps, or maybe one app. That's all we need.
One good one.
What's in store for Wright Technologies here in the next couple of quarters? Anything that'll benefit my listeners?
Yeah, so we are continuing to build out mobile capabilities. We have them today, and we're investing heavily, as we believe that for sure is the future.
And is there a certain strength in your company, Android or iPhone or certain types of technologies, or is there agencies you prefer to work for? Do you prefer to civilian, obviously, or DOD? What kind of agencies you typically work with?
We've got a pretty much of a mix of our clients. We're in every cabinet-level agency across the federal government, so it's a good mix between DOD and between the federal civilian.
I thought it was interesting that you talked about the DOD application. We have civilian agency represents kind of it's a difficult divide to straddle, have a foot in each world, because it's different terms, different technologies, different sensitivities, and the DOD maybe not want to respond much to a citizen in Idaho and not care. But boy, Kim better care, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, great. We'll have to come do this in a year and find out what the new mystery app is. And see what new technology is still around. Maybe we'll only see two operating systems instead of five. It's kind of started off the year with about six. Now we have five. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we had Kim Taylor, Director of Web Services at USDA FSIS, and Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies. Thanks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Continuing congressional coverage is brought to you by United Technologies, Fortune Magazine's most admired aerospace and defense company for 10 of the last 11 years. More at utc.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Our top story, the two American hikers in prison in Iran could be free very soon.